You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 105, and today we have our first time ever interviews with pilgrims on our recent pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We have Father Juan Diego, Chantal Dixon, and Dr. Kent Hare. Stay tuned for their thoughts and reflections about being a pilgrim in Mexico City and seeing the miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Howdy, and thank you for tuning into The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And today we have some interviews with recent pilgrims to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Have you ever wanted to go on a pilgrimage? Have you been on pilgrimages? Today we explore what it means to be a pilgrim under Our Lady's gaze. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to wherever you are in the world. Today we sit down with three pilgrims, one of which was our chaplain, Father Juan Diego, and we talk about our recent experiences in Mexico City at Our Lady of Guadalupe, but also many of the other holy sites we visited. So we kick it off here, first of all, with Father Juan Diego. For those that have never met Father Juan Diego, he is a Canadian with a red beard. He does not look like the historical Juan Diego by any measure.
Right. I get that a lot. Yeah,
exactly. Like, your name is Juan Diego? What?
Right. It's no big deal living in Nicaragua. But when I go home to Canada, people are like, what kind of name is that?
Juan Diego. Call me JD.
That's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, there's a funny story. Father and I were joking about it. I want to tell it. So several years ago, I had a group of guys together for dinner and whatnot, and we were going to taste some scotches, and Father was there with us. And I said, so I know that Father here is a big scotch drinker. What about everybody else? And Father was so embarrassed. I didn't mean that he was a big scotch drinker. I meant that he knows about scotch. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, that was an awesome moment.
And everyone's kind of looking at Father Juan, and you're like, oh, the big drinker.
Yeah. I think I clarified that for you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
But I was a bartender in my former incarnation, I guess we can say.
Yeah.
And the place where I worked had a great scotch selection, and so I had to learn about all of those things and the regions, and so I've kept that interest. I haven't had much opportunity, and so that was a great evening that we shared at your place.
Yeah. What's your favorite scotch, Father?
Well, depends
you're
on the day.
Here's the deal. You're going to be martyred tomorrow, and it's not Lent, and they offer you one scotch, anything.
That's tough. I'd probably go with the Talisker, 10-year-old.
Really? The Talisker?
Yeah, I think it's – I love the Isla whiskeys. I know it's not from Isla. It's from Skye.
Yeah,
but it's
smoky.
I think it's got a great balance between the characteristics of the Isla whiskeys, but then also, you know, some of the characteristics of the space side. So I think it's a great all-around whiskey.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's not something you want to drink on a hot Nicaraguan summer day, though.
Not right after you finish mowing the lawn.
That's no, sure. Definitely not. Good. Well, Father, this was your second pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Your first one was with your close friend, St. John Paul II, right?
As I like to say, John Paul II was in Mexico with me, yeah.
Right. Tell us about that, your first visit to Our Lady Guadalupe.
Well, if I could just back up a little, I don't know if I told you, Taylor, that I had lived in Mexico City for about 6 weeks before I was missioned to go to Honduras in the year 2000. So I was there 6 weeks, and I had lots of opportunities to go to the Basilica there. But the most memorable time for me was being there in 2002 for the canonization of Juan Diego.
Awesome. And you had chosen your name, name and religion, Juan Diego, already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when you chose Juan Diego, it was actually Blessed Juan Diego.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So my first time that I was there, you don't know what to expect. And it was my first time in Mexico City. I had been to Central America before, so I had some introduction to devotions of the people there and things like that, things which are markedly different from how North Americans approach worship and church and things like that. So, but arriving at the Basilica, for the first time, the thing that struck me was the devotion of the people, walking in on their knees, them presenting their babies to Our Lady, and people who had obviously come on pilgrimage from very far and were arriving foot tired and exhausted from days and days of walking beneath the sun. And they arrived there with just love in their hearts. And the thing that struck me about being there was just the feeling of Our Lady's presence, the confirmation of her tenderness to her people, and how she just, you know, was gathering everybody in, not just Mexicans, but people from every nation, to herself, to her son.
Yeah. And how is it different for this? I mean, I remember being with you when we were in Puebla this last time,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't really talk to them. I think you were making fun of me with them. But we were talking about to some of these pilgrims who were walking on foot.
Yeah.
And they were on day three or something, and they were literally walking 5-6 days from wherever they lived into Mexico City to see the Pope.
Yeah.
There at Our Lady Guadalupe.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And then I think you jokingly said, okay, well, let's go get back on our air-conditioned bus back to our nice hotel.
I did say in English, so they wouldn't understand.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah. It was shameful because we're like, oh, yeah, we're pilgrims. You know, we're going to Mexico City. Hoorah. And here are these real pilgrims on foot walking to go.
Yeah,
see
it's really really.
And sleeping on apparently sleeping on, you know, on the side of the road or wherever they go. I don't know all the details of how one of those walking real pilgrimages goes. But I mean, it certainly was sobering for me. And I think for the rest of us, realizing that our pilgrimage is pretty easy.
Yeah, they were. There was two separate groups who had been walking from two different locations, just exhausted, reclining on the ground in front of the church, the Franciscan church there in Puebla, and they were all wearing like vests with Our Lady of Guadalupe on it and the name of their parish and where they were walking from. And so I went up and I talked to them and asked them where they were coming from. And exactly like you say, they had been walking on day three or four and had five more days in front of them. And another moving thing I saw was as we were traveling in our air-conditioned bus, groups of pilgrims who were on bicycle. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
They were spread out quite a bit, but some of them were kids, like 12, 13 years old. And they were all following, each group was following their own pickup truck. And in the back of the truck, they had a beautiful altar to Our Lady, you know, a statue of her in a case with glass on it and lots of tinsel, of course, yes, and Christmas lights and stuff like that. And I assume that they would carry some gear, but you're not going to find a lot of bed and breakfasts.
Exactly. Well, you know, what's impressive about that is, you know, they're on the bike. There aren't any shoulders on these highways. You know, it's extremely dangerous. Big buses like ours zooming by, and they're on their bikes, pedaling away. And in front of them, like you said, this pickup with a shrine to Our Lady in the back. I mean, I myself would have thought, okay, well, we need a pickup truck. We need to put, you know, some coolers back there, some Gatorade, some snacks, some energy bars. No, they have a shrine. So literally, while they're pedaling hundreds of miles, they're looking in the back of this pickup that's, I guess, ahead of them just a little bit, and looking at the shrine of Our Lady.
Yes. Beautiful,
amazing.
Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's humbling for me. What about seeing the Tilma? Like when we went the first day and we went into the big square there in the Villa of Our Lady Guadalupe, and then we went in through the Door of Mercy. When you laid eyes on her again, what happened?
Well, I think I was overcome by a feeling of homecoming, of Our Lady welcoming me personally, welcoming our group to her shrine, to her home. As she said, she asked Juan Diego to build her a casita, a little house. And so we're really in Our Lady's house there, which was, I had a great sense of that, this pilgrimage.
Awesome. What about some highlights? You know, we did some things, well, a lot of things besides just the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe. Anything new that you hadn't done before or anything that stood out as particularly important to you or fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the sites we visited were spectacular. I would say the the absolute highlight for me was being able to celebrate Mass for the first time in my priestly life at the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe. Yeah. That was really an awesome, awesome experience.
That was awesome. Yeah, Ad Orientum, you could like see Our Lady. Of course, there's all these other Masses and things going on there, but that was awesome, the first day to have Mass and see you up there. And that was when my son Jude got to serve his first Mass ever, so thanks for helping him there. That was pretty awesome.
It was great, and he did a great job.
Yeah,
that was great. And then the Mass at the Church of the Holy Family there in Mexico City, where the relics of St. Miguel Agustin Pro are now housed, was an awesome experience as well. Yeah. For me personally, I have a devotion to him, and he's such a popular saint, I think. I think a lot of people know him and love him. So it was great for me to be there.
Yeah, that was a beautiful church, beautiful Mass. Great little museum, too. Had you been to the museum before?
I had never been to the church, and so I'd never been to the museum. It was, it's really well done.
Yeah.
When we went to Puebla, both those churches, the Dominican Church and the Franciscan Church, of course, I'm partial to the Franciscan Church. You were right. The Dominican Church was gorgeous, much more beautiful than the Franciscan Church. But the most beautiful thing, of course, in the Franciscan Church is that they have the incorrupt body of San Sebastián de Aparición there, who was a friar.
Yes.
And also the statue or the image of Our Lady that Cortez brought with him as well when he came to Mexico in 1518. Really incredible.
Yes. Place. Yeah, I brought a white habit for Father Juan Diego in case he wanted to become a Dominican. And once we saw that Dominican church, I think it was closed, but you're right. They did have an incorrupt at the Franciscan church.
That's right.
So I kind of trumped it. The Dominican church was beautiful. I mean, the Chapel of the Rosary at the Dominican church with the gold. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, they call that room the Casa de Oro, the House of Gold. And I mean, that's like an understatement when you go in that chapel, right?
It's stunning.
It's breathtaking.
It's stunning. But, I mean, it's a good reminder that a saint indwelled by the Holy Spirit is much higher and much more important than an architectural wonder.
Yeah, that's I've used that example. I haven't used your name, but I've used that example of the conversation that we had there. And you and I joke back and forth a lot about the Dominican Franciscan thing, and it's something I really enjoy. But you, when we were in the Franciscan church, as we were leaving, I remember you saying to me, "Yeah, that the Dominican church blew this one out of the water." And my response was, "Yeah, but there's a saint here, right?"
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I think that's a great point for preaching, for the spiritual life, that it's so easy for us, myself included, to get distracted on things which are non-essential and to forget that holiness is really the goal of everything, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That union with Christ, union with the Holy Trinity.
Absolutely. Great. Well, I'm glad to be part of a sermon illustration.
Can I use your name?
Yeah, you could use my name. That's fine.
I'm only teasing.
I need the humility. That's good. That's good. We've been back now for a couple of weeks. Is there anything that you've carried with you, or maybe something when you see an image of Our Lady, which we see all the time, of Our Lady of Guadalupe, something that comes to mind, or something that was said, anything, since you've been home?
Well, in every one of our chapels in the CFR community, we have the image of Our Lady that we have is Our Lady of Guadalupe. So, yeah, arriving back in the friary, I was only there for a couple of days before I had to leave again. But to see her there in my own chapel, it was a beautiful experience. The connection, of course, with the spiritual joy that we all experience there in Mexico at her basilica. Came home with me, and she was there to welcome me home as well, to remind me that she is always with us, right? She meets us as she met Juan Diego on whatever road we are on to bring us to her son.
Fantastic. And then just to close up, what would you say to someone who's thinking about a pilgrimage? I mean, it could be a pilgrimage to Guadalupe. It could be a pilgrimage to anywhere in the world, Lourdes, Fatima, Rome, Holy Land. What would you say to them? What would you do to encourage them?
Well, I would say go for it. And pilgrimage is played such an important, essential role in the life of the church historically. People went on pilgrimages for penance, right? But essentially, pilgrimage, we go on pilgrimage to remind us that our life is a pilgrimage, right? That we are on this journey to our Lord. And going on pilgrimage is all part of being Catholic, all part of the mystery of the incarnation, right? Christ, God himself, becomes man. And so places and things become so important, sacred to us. And so all of these sacred places are so essential to us as Catholics, as Christians, to draw closer to the mystery of Christ, to the loving embrace of his mother, and to the glory of the saints as well. It's so important. And if you're thinking of going to Our Lady of Guadalupe, especially if you live in the United States, especially if you live in Texas, it's like, what, a two-hour flight or something like that. It's right. So accessible. Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, Father, thanks so much for being our chaplain. It's always fun to be with you. You're a great guy, lots of fun. But more importantly, I really appreciated you in your reverence at the altar and your attentiveness in the Mass and for your kindness in the confessional and for all your good words in the homilies and sermons and reflections. So thanks so much for adding all that to our lives as pilgrims.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Taylor.
All right. It was a pleasure. Well, we'll do it again, hopefully, one of these days.
All right.
All right. Great. Well, thanks so much, Father. God bless. Ave Maria.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, there was the short interview with Father Juan Diego Sutherland. And now we move on to Chantal Dixon. She came with her mother and her teenage daughter, Claudia, and a wonderful family. Had a great time with them, and they were super helpful with Joy as we had a baby with us. And Chantal is just so sweet. Here are her thoughts and reflections on her pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. All right, well, I'm here with Chantal Dixon. She's from Shreveport, Louisiana, and she was on our pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and she was with her mother and her daughter, Claudia. Real pleasure having both of you there. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah, well, it was wonderful to meet your mother and your lovely daughter, Claudia. And I just wanted to lead off with a basic question. That is, why did you want to go, of all places in the world, to Mexico City to see Our Lady Guadalupe?
Well, I have to be honest. The first thing that came to mind is I wanted to meet you. I had just received my certificate from the New St. Thomas Institute on Thomistic Studies and Philosophy. And I really wanted to meet the man behind the scenes, the voice behind, you know, all this. And when I heard your wife Joy was going to be there, and she just had the eighth child, I'm like, I have to meet this amazing family. So that was the impetus. And then I thought, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could bring three generations, have my mother, who has a strong devotion to Our Lady, and my daughter with me, one of the few times that we'll be together, as my daughter's going to be off to college next year. So that, coupled with the fact that I really wanted to know more about Our Lady of Guadalupe, seemed like a perfect opportunity. I was born in France, heard of Our Lady of Lourdes and Fatima, but it wasn't until I moved to Houston that I heard of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, what is the fascination with this woman? So when I heard about you putting on the pilgrimage, I spoke to my husband, and he's very supportive and said, do it. So we got on a plane, and there we go.
Good. Awesome. And what did you think about seeing her for the first time? Was there something that impacted you?
Well, my first impression when we first arrived to the site, it was a little bit chaotic, and I kind of realized
this is Mexico. Yeah,
this is Mexico. Also, they were getting ready for the Pope, and so there was a lot of activity going on around that. Flowers being planted, people shining up the brass everywhere, buildings being washed, and so I just had to orient myself. And then, as we walked through the gate, and I saw the shrine on the left, I saw the big doors that, you know, that are there, and I peeked in, and you could see the tilma, and I saw her there, and I'm like, wow, how well I could see it from outside, and I was instantly drawn to wanting to approach it. Mm-hmm. So I had seen the Door of Mercy, and I went through that door with intent and with my petitions in my hand that my friends had given me. Good. So with my armed with my petitions.
You had them in hand, literally?
I literally had them with me. I took them with me all week long, everywhere. I prayed with those intentions, and then on the last day I left them at the site for Our Lady.
That's beautiful. So
I went through the door. I was instantly drawn to the tilma. The closer I got to it, the bigger it became. And I was really surprised by the size, because I always thought, you know, Juan Diego being a small man and the tilma maybe, you know, just being a cloak type thing. But it was much larger and much brighter than I expected. Yeah. So that was one of the key things I noted. And then we had the Mass, and you could see her from all the various chapels, which was really nice. And that was very peaceful, having a Mass in front of the tilma. And then I heard noises, people singing, and another Mass being said in a different language. And all the peacefulness I was feeling all of a sudden became a little bit chaotic again. Mm-hmm. Until I realized they were all praying to God, and we were all there for the same purpose. And then it became a symphony of prayer in my mind. So that was nice once I realized that all of that was taking place and what was happening in this beautiful sacred site.
Beautiful. And I'm curious, I had a great time meeting your daughter, and she was so lovely and just so, I mean, spiritually beautiful. And she was on a trip with 43 other pilgrims. She was by far the youngest, except for my kids. What was her experience of being on a pilgrimage like that with, you know, she's not with teenagers or her friends. I mean, she's on this religious pilgrimage with people she doesn't know and generally people who are not her age.
Yeah. Well, we kind of do things a little bit differently because we homeschool, number one. So she's used to being around adults and children. Mm-hmm. So she adapts pretty easily. We travel quite a bit, and I've taken her on a lot of different holy sites. And our Catholic faith is the center of our life. So that's nothing new to her, but I think she also, you know, from a teenage perspective, wanted to, I've got my checklist here. I've got another city under my belt.
Yeah.
But I think she was very impressed with everything. The holiness. I mean, I saw her pray. I saw her genuinely feel the presence. So for me, and seeing my mother there and having the three of us there, that was something I don't know if I'll ever experience again. It was really beautiful. It felt like a rebirthing of the faith, you know, when you think of Mary being pregnant there.
Yes.
And so I thought about that, you know, the faith is being passed on from grandmother to mother to daughter to granddaughter.
That's awesome. Is there any other highlights of the trip? Obviously, seeing Our Lady Guadalupe, but any other things that we saw or any experiences that you had? It doesn't have to be necessarily a sight, but maybe something that a conversation or someone you met or a place we went.
I'd say one of the things that's different about Mexico City and the Mexican people is the beauty of the faith. Not that you don't see it in other places, you do, but seeing them with their babies all dressed up, with carriages that had flowers on them and wreaths that they brought and banners, grandparents as well as babies being baptized. So the faith within the Mexican communities was very strong, and that was kind of a surprise. A lot of times you'll see more tourists, more Americans, more foreigners in a location. So seeing that was very nice. And also we went to Pueblo and other places. I had witnessed this where they brought a baby Jesus, a doll, to be blessed and to bring back home. And so that was something that I hadn't seen anywhere else, that I thought that was particularly unique to Mexico.
Fantastic. Yeah, I remember seeing, especially when we went to San Miguel, and seeing it was right after the Feast of the Presentation, and all these people were bringing, it's kind of hard, I think, for Americans to understand, but they're bringing these little statues or dolls of our Lord Jesus to the church, like to the temple, just like Mary and Joseph did, to be blessed by the priest to present him. And then they bring them back home and they set them up on their family altar for the season up until, I guess, you know, Holy Week or, you know, advanced into Lent. So that was really, I'd never seen it either. I'd been to Mexico before several times. I'd never seen that. So that was a big impact for me too, to see just the piety of the people for our Lord. What do you think is the memory or the lesson or the take home after you've been home now for a couple weeks? Is there anything when you're praying or when you see an image of Our Lady Guadalupe that prompts you to think of something in particular?
Well, one thing at the Cathedral at St. John Berkman's here in Shreveport, Louisiana, our priest, Father Peter, had a painting commissioned of Our Lady Guadalupe in 2012. And it was beautiful, but, you know, it was there and I never really paid much attention to it. And when, after coming back from Mexico and being there and praying all week and seeing her image everywhere, when I first time I walked into our cathedral and I saw that image, it was like I saw it for the first time all over again. So that was very significant. And now I have certainly a greater devotion to the patroness of the Americas, understanding the history of Our Lady, you know, for 500 years, the pivotal role that she played in, I would say, the bringing Christianity to the Americas was, you know, significant in putting all of that together, as well as understanding Calles and his influence in the persecution of the Christians of the Mexican people. So I hadn't put all of that together. And so, you know, after contemplating that, I thought, this is very significant and very appropriate that she is the patroness of the Americas. And so, yes, I've renewed my devotion to the rosary, especially during Lent. And as a family, you know, on the bus, we did the morning prayers and the evening prayers. And I've always done that, but I noticed my daughter, she said, I'm going to do that twice a day now. So good. She's got her Magnificat and she's praying it as well. So there's a lot of spiritual benefit that goes along with the pilgrimage. It's the year of mercy. Mm-hmm. So it's a very important thing for us to do this time of year. And I know that my petitions were heard, my prayers were being answered. They're, you know, Mary's presenting them to God, no doubt. So, you know, you come away from that feeling renewed, absolutely spiritually renewed.
Awesome. That's great. Well, it was such a blessing to meet you and to be with you and eat with you. And you were so sweet to help out with baby Margaret and Jude.
Oh,
and
she's a joy.
Yeah.
A joy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a real highlight for us.
And the last thing I would say is I thought what was really interesting, La Guadalupana, well, we sang that song over and over again.
Right.
But what I realized is you don't have to be Mexican.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to profess any religion to be a Guadalupana.
Yeah.
The devotion to Our Lady to many of these people is a devotion to Our Lady,
even
if they don't profess any religion. So,
yeah,
it's
amazing.
It is.
It is amazing. Great. Well, let's just close here. Is there anything you'd say to anyone who's thinking about going on a pilgrimage to Our Lady Guadalupe? I know the first time I ever thought of it, I was initially kind of afraid because I thought, oh, Mexico, am I going to get sick? Is it dangerous? Is it going to be worth it? What would you say to people who have considered maybe going on a pilgrimage to Our Lady Guadalupe?
Some of those same fears my husband had.
Yeah.
And once I arrived there and I texted him, yes, there's chaos. There's lots of people. I mean, there's, what, 23 million people in Mexico City.
Yeah.
There's going to be traffic jams.
Yep.
But the holy sites and the places we were, and the people are beautiful. They're friendly. They're nice. So, you know, I mean, I never felt scared once. Although I wouldn't say I'd let my, you know, 17-year-old daughter run around the streets.
Yes,
but,
obviously.
But together we walked around the city blocks and went to different restaurants that weren't on the program. And, you know, we felt very comfortable and very safe where we were. Of course, we kind of had a plan. We weren't just wandering around. But even in the Pueblo, beautiful little towns, communities, I mean, they're people just like us. There's really nothing to be afraid. Drink bottled water if you're scared, but... Yep. Aside from that, everything should go well. Go with an open mind and an open heart and let God guide you and Our Lady guide you.
Well, Chantel, thanks so much. It was, like I said, a beautiful time with you and your mother and your daughter. And hopefully one day we'll meet again on a pilgrimage somewhere in the world.
That'd be wonderful. I look forward to it.
Great. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us. And God bless you.
God bless you, too. Dr. Marshall.
Chantel, thank you for the awesome interview and for all your thoughts and memories. And now we turn to another pilgrim, Dr. Kent Hare, who is a professor of history. Dr. Kent Hare is a professor at Northwestern State University of Louisiana, and he has some pretty amazing interests in his research. Crusades, the barbarian kingdoms in the early Middle Ages, Bronze Age, Greek, and early Germanic heroic ages, and the late Roman Republic and early Empire. And it was a blast to be with him on the bus and with dinner and to pray together and to laugh together. Dr. Kent Hare, howdy.
Howdy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great. Thanks for taking time to talk with us. Share with me a little bit how you and your wife discerned the call or the idea to visit Our Lady of Guadalupe on a pilgrimage.
All right. Well, we've been on a pilgrimage before. You know, a couple of years ago, our local parish did a pilgrimage to Rome, Assisi, Florence, Orvieto. Spent about a week in Italy and really came back just really supercharged, you know, religiously. And just really kind of wanted to go on another pilgrimage, but it's a difficult thing, particularly with my schedule. For instance, our parish is doing another pilgrimage later this year, going to Fatima and Lourdes and a couple other places in Spain. I don't remember exactly where, but I'm not going to be able to go, both because of the timing, you know, and you know, cost. And I've listened to your podcast for several years now. I didn't realize I'd discovered it so long ago. It was Christmas of 2011.
Wow.
You know, I was writing up a little blog post of my own about the dating of Christmas, and I was doing some, you know, looking around, and I encountered your one of your posts regarding it, and you know, kind of started noticing your name. And then when the NSTI started up, I joined that. But anyway, I was listening to your podcast last October when you first brought up the pilgrimages that you were intending to do this year. And my first thought was, well, Italy, we've done that. Can't really justify that. But then you came, I think you mentioned secondly, the Guadalupe. And that is not something I'd ever given the least bit of thought to.
Huh.
You know, Mexico is not someplace I've ever really wanted to go. And I've read a couple of books about, you know, Guadalupe, but just never really felt the call to go there. But then, you know, I listened to your talk about it then, and I came home. And, well, actually, first off, I listened to your talk, and I heard the dates you cited. And I thought, I wonder if that's Mardi Gras, right before Ash Wednesday, which really worked for me as soon as I came home and confirmed that, because here in Louisiana, we get Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of that week off.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's perfect.
We get half of that week. We get half of Wednesday off. But so I thought, wow, I won't have to miss but one day of class because I don't actually teach in class on Fridays. So I thought, this works really well. So came home, looked at the video. My wife got in from work, showed it to her. I said, what do you think? She said, let's go.
Awesome.
He thought about it, prayed about it a little bit, and, you know, just suddenly, you know, I think from the first time I saw the video, you know, I thought, yeah, we need to do this. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of days, we had signed up and plunked down our first installment to 206 Tours, and then it was here before we know it.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't actually know that about the y'all getting the Mardi Gras days off in Louisiana. It worked out perfect. Right.
Yes, it did, because that was that. You know, I was able in 2014 to justify basically 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from classes, because, you know, Rome is something I teach about all the time. You know, the early Middle Ages, Florence, all of that. You know, for the Renaissance, I was able to justify that as being work related. You know, I can't do really the same thing for Fatima and Lourdes. You know,
or
Mexico City. But right. You know, with the timing, just worked out perfectly. So much worked out perfectly for this trip. It just, I feel like we were truly called to go there.
So, Dr. Hare, what was your impression when you first laid eyes on the original Tilma, Our Lady Guadalupe?
Well, this is probably going to be a surprising answer. I was actually a little bit underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmed at the same time, and I think those two things went together.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed walking into that basilica, into the chaos.
Yeah.
I'm not really somebody who likes chaos, particularly right. A bunch of people all in one place doing their own little thing.
Yeah. So several different masses, right? Going yes. on. Yeah. Different masses going on. People doing devotions, people bringing up flowers, a choir.
All at the same time.
Yeah. And there's a mass every hour on the hour. So you got priests coming, priests going, pilgrim groups coming in, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots mm-hmm. of different things going on. It's one of the things that all of our pilgrims noted is just there's so much going on. It's not something we're used to in America for sure.
Uh-huh. And it was something that it actually took me a few hours, I think, to process, you know, that. But my first reaction was just sensory overload. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Almost fight or flight, right. You know, instinct kicking in. And that really overwhelmed my sense of being in the presence of the Tilma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we walked around the edge, went on the people mover a few times.
Yep.
And then we were out, went up to, we heard our own mass, you know, right in the midst of all the other ones going on.
Yep.
And then we were out of there, out of the basilica, and making a tour of the grounds, and then we were gone. And it was
on the first day.
That yes. first day, yes. It was like almost, that was it. We uh-huh. did it. But over time, you know, as I thought about it, you know, I don't know if you knew it, but I was the one who piped up with the answer at one point when you asked on the bus, you know, what we thought of the chaos that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, I'd had time to process it, and I'd come to a realization that is a sign of the authenticity mm-hmm. of the spirituality going on there. It's not something that I really find natural myself, but I think it was very clear that all of those people that were there for one and one reason only, out of love for Our Lady.
Yeah. Amen.
And that really, by the time we went back on Monday, you know, that was the Friday when we first went, was that first reaction. When we went back on Monday, it was a totally different reaction. You know, I think part of it was we got set up with the walking into the basilica, singing the pilgrim song.
Yes.
You know,
La Guadalupana. Yeah.
Yes. However haltingly we were doing it.
Right.
Yeah. But then I was able to appreciate it so much more. And then we had the luxury of time.
Yes.
Including ultimately, you know, we were able to, my wife and I came back into the basilica, managed to actually catch a lull between masses. So there weren't a whole lot of people in there.
Wow.
I mean, probably a few dozen, but, you know, it's a very large space, so it felt empty.
Right.
And Father Juan Diego, and you can explain that name to them, was hearing confessions, went to confession, found a pew, and just sat there and prayed and brought our petitions that we had brought. And that was when it really, you know, sunk in, and just the awe of being, I mean, we weren't close at that point, but you could just see that it was there. And I hate to keep repeating your words or things, but you made a point on, in one of your talks on the bus, that this is a unique apparition in that, you know, given the really unexplainable qualities inherent in the tilma, you know, it's the image itself, you know, the mystery of how it formed, all of the symbolism in it, let's see, what are some of the others? The fact that, I've even heard that a fetal heartbeat has been detected in it. And, the images in the eyes, I just really came away that second time with the feeling that I had literally been in the presence of Our Lady.
Yes. That's the best way I think to describe it is, and I think Father Juan Diego, who was our chaplain for our pilgrimage, you know, he likened it to the Blessed Sacrament. Of course, this is different than the Blessed Sacrament. The Blessed Sacrament actually is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And this tilma is a reproduction, a supernatural reproduction. It's not actually Our Lady, but it's the it's the closest I've ever felt in the world to being in the presence of Our Lady, is being right below, real close to the tilma, like as you're going on the little people movers at the bottom, right in front of it. There is this sense that she is there.
Yes, so, most definitely.
So what were your, besides Our Lady of Guadalupe, we did a lot of other stuff while we were there. What were some highlights, maybe one or two highlights that you experienced, either a conversation or something you saw or a place we went that made an impact on you?
Really, the one place that made the most impact on me was the Chapel of the Rosary in the church in, I believe it was in Puebla.
It's in Puebla, the Dominican Church.
Right.
Yes, yeah, beautiful.
They all are still kind of blurred together in my memory. I think they're getting more blurred in my memory. But I was looking back, and I think I'd worked it out that was where it was. But anyway, you know, that, I believe, is probably the most beautiful church or chapel that I've ever been in.
It's amazing.
It's just transcendently so. I mean, all of that wood carving covered with the gold leaf. I mean, it just, and maybe we hit it at the perfect time of day, but the light was shining in through the windows and the dome. And then there were all those paintings along the side depicting the mysteries of the rosary.
Yes. And even though the paintings were kind of aged, you know, and dark, like they needed to be restored, they were still glorious. Like as your eyes adjusted, they were really stunning paintings and the gold everywhere. That was, I loved that church. It's for those that are listening. It's in Puebla. It's the Dominican church there in Puebla. And if you go in all the way to the front to the altar and you hang a left, you'll go into a separate chapel, which is the Chapel of the Rosary. And it's gold and glorious. What did you like about that? What was, I mean, it made a big impact on me too, but was there something in particular besides the beauty?
That would be pretty much it. Just the feeling. I mean, the word I used a couple of minutes ago was transcendent. I mean, it just literally felt like you were, you know, in another space.
Yeah. That church, even that chapel and even the high altar, you feel like, you know, you've lifted up your hearts as we do in the Mass, like you are in heaven. You're in a, you're in a different place, different dimension almost.
Yes. Yeah. I will say this, a similar feeling, and this is actually kind of a funny, kind of, you know, embarrassing story. You know, when we stepped into the Metropolitan Cathedral in Mexico City.
Yes.
That was earlier, before we went to Puebla. But yeah, we walked into that front door of that, and my breath was literally taken away.
Yes.
I mean, there was, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it was a separate little church up at front.
Yes.
And then a huge organ. And then you could see down the nave, away in the distance, the high altar.
Yeah.
And I was standing, what's funny and embarrassing is I walked in there and I forgot to even take my hat off. I was just standing there almost, you know, slack jawed.
Yes. Yeah, and that's another church that it's disorienting. It's not like St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. It's very Spanish. It's chopped up and it's like a holy labyrinth.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, there didn't seem to be a central, at least when you walk in that door, no central focus.
Yes, but utterly, I mean, just so beautiful.
Yes,
and so yes. Huge, like a just like a giant cathedral in Europe.
Well, you know, I mean, I've been in a few cathedrals in Europe, and I don't remember any of them being, as you put it, so chopped up and unfocused. But anyway, so I'm sitting there just kind of in awe, and I'm going to lift up my camera to start taking some pictures, and a docent comes over and kind of sternly rebukes me for not taking my hat off. And I'm sheepishly, getting it, you know, but it was just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a stunning experience to go to. You wouldn't assume that the cathedral in Mexico City would be that stunning.
I really had nothing to base a opinion on, but I mean, a preconceived notion on, but wow, it was just like, and that was something my wife kept saying. Everything we saw there was so different from what we saw in Europe.
Yes. Yeah.
It has its own unique, beauty.
Yeah. So what is something that you brought home with you? Maybe a lesson, a prayer, a memory. We've been home now for a couple of weeks. You know, have there been times when you're in church or you're walking or you've seen an image of Our Lady? Is there anything?
Two weeks. Taylor, you're breaking up pretty badly.
Uh-oh.
Here.
Uh-oh. All right. I'll start over with the question. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So we've been home for a couple of weeks now. Has there been anything that you keep coming back to in your mind or in your prayers, or when you see an image of Our Lady Guadalupe, is there anything in particular about your pilgrimage that you've carried with you?
This kind of loops back to what I said earlier, that I'd never felt the least attraction, never felt the least desire to go to Mexico. And I came away from there with a totally different view. I mean, Mexico, I think we all know, has problems as a country, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did not experience any of that. I mean, there was nothing. I'd been told, you know, as soon as people heard we were going to Mexico, I said, oh, isn't it dangerous? And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, we're going with a tour group and these are well established and I'm sure nothing will happen. Mm. But, you know, we never felt the least bit unsafe anywhere, either with the group or, you know, my wife and I struck out one evening, you know, just walking around the streets around the hotel that we were at. Never felt the least bit unsafe. Now, talking, you know, in conversation with our guides and so forth. Yeah, the what people think of as being the troubled Mexico is the borders.
Yes, yeah, that's right. The borders. And Mexico City is far, far from the borders.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And the other thing that struck me, the pervasive, the omnipresence of the image of Guadalupe.
Yes.
I mean, the people there obviously have a deep, deep, deep devotion to her.
Yes.
And I mean, we could look out of the window of the restaurant that at our hotel across the street into a garage.
Oh, yes.
And there was an image of Our Lady with like flashing Christmas lights
yep.
going around her right there in the garage. And every place you went, there was the image. And, you know, I just a combination of so many different things I came away from. I just really think, you know, that Mexico may have its troubles, but I'm wondering if spiritually I really believe that Mexico is in a lot better place than we are.
Yeah. And that's something to think about. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for taking time, Dr. Kent Hare. It was a pleasure to meet you and to spend time with you. Your wife is lovely. We had a good time.
Likewise.
And hopefully we can meet up again at some point. And like I said at the beginning, maybe we can do an interview about the Crusades or one of your other specialties in history.
Certainly. Certainly.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being with us, and God bless.
Okay. Well, God bless you too. Thank you.
All right. Bye now. Well, there you have it, our three interviews from our pilgrims. Hopefully that gives you a mental picture of what it's like to go on a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe and all the things there are to see there, but most importantly, to be under the gaze of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Next week, we'll resume the normal format with our tip of the week and our Latin word of the week and all that. Also do the shout out for everybody who's rated this podcast in the last 2 weeks. Thank you so much for everyone who's done that. And until next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.